instead of my talk for tonight. But thankfully, thanks be to God, I brought the right notes. Rita, thank you very much for praying. I just want to pray now and ask for God's blessing on his word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, may the Spirit of the living God fall upon us all and give us ears, as Rita said, give us ears to hear your voice speaking to us this evening. And help us, Lord, again, as has been said, to understand your love for us. And to realize, Lord God, that the lives of these Old Testament characters, Lord God, are relevant today. They speak to us generations later, Lord God. Help us, like these men and women of old, to trust in you, the living God. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from out of your word, and ears to hear your voice, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Am I mad to believe, and I got, am I mad to believe things could get better? I learned in life at a very early stage, I learned in my Christian life at a very early stage, never say things can't get any worse. Trust me, they can, so you're better not to say it. And Dave kicked off the series last week, Am I Mad to Believe? 2 weeks ago, looking at the account, as he mentioned there, of Noah and the Ark. Like, was he mad to believe that God says there's going to be a flood, and the flood is going to cover the whole world, and everybody's going to get wiped out, and I need you to make this massive boat, which is basically the size of the QE2. But he believed, even though he looked mad, and for 120 years was shouted at and mocked at by people. But he did what God said, and he and his family were spared. And last week, Keith began our journey through the life of Abram, where we were looking at the relevance of his life to our lives today. And last week, we heard how God told Abram, and Keith didn't call him Abraham, Abram last week, just Abraham, but he hadn't had his name changed at this point, because Keith said, I struggle to say that wee short one, the longer one's easier to say. God told Abram to pack up everything and leave his country and go to a place he would show him. And I love this wee story, and I know how I'm supposed to do this in 15 minutes, but I love this wee story about the woman who went to her minister and said to her minister, I believe that God is calling me to serve him in South America. And he says, right, okay. And he was a wise man. He says, right, okay. He says, well, why do you believe that? Why do you believe God is calling you to serve him in South America? And she says, well, for the past week, says, all I could do is dream about Brazil nuts. And he says, well, wasn't it just as well it wasn't Mars bars? See, God called Abraham to leave his country, pack up everything, leave his country, and go to a land that he would show him, but he didn't tell him where it was going to be. And he packed up and he went. Abraham did what God asked him to do. He started off well, trusting God and following him. And that's a bit like a Christian life. We all start off well, trusting God and following him. But then a famine led him to Egypt, where prior to going there, he asked his wife to tell lies to the Egyptians and say that she was his sister. She was a good-looking woman. And they knew, that Abraham knew, if they look at her and they fancy her and they'll take her to Pharaoh's harem, to do that they'd have to top him so that it would be okay to do. So he says, if you say you're my sister, at least they'll not kill me. But he had forgotten about his trust in God and following God and how God said, this is what I'm going to do with you and for you. Basically, he was scared that they'd kill him and take Sarah to be Pharaoh's wife. Again, as I said, he trusted God well, started off well, but he soon forgot about trusting God and God's promises to him. Unfortunately, that's often the way with us Christians as well. But I'm going to say something here, and I was laughing at this during the week, because in Northern Ireland you get killed for saying this, but is it politically incorrect to begin this message by saying, the famine's over, it's time to go home? Now, only a sectarian bigot would understand what that means, but it's a big thing, there's a big court case going on about it at the moment. The famine's over, it's time to go home. You see, not that Abraham had a home to go to. God had already promised him that he would give him and his descendants all the land of Canaan, but he hadn't actually really settled anywhere, and the famine was over, and so he was leaving Egypt. And as he and his family left with all of their livestock from Egypt, also he had his nephew Lot and all of his belongings with him, and soon it became apparent that because they had so much, they just couldn't stay together, and that they would have to part with their ways because there was fighting between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot over water. And Abraham told his nephew to choose whatever area you want, saying, if you choose to go to the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you choose to go to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Lot chose to go east. And it looked like good land. It says that he saw the land and it looked good, and there was a plentiful supply of water. And so the two separated. And Abraham's choice really didn't look that promising. But he kept his word to his nephew. And I want to pick up from that point now in Genesis chapter 13, if you've got a Bible with you. Genesis 13, and I'm going to read from verses 14 to 18. Genesis 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward. Remember, Lot went east. I want you to look north, south, east and west. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. You see, we read these things all the time, especially us Christians. We read these all the time and we actually miss really important things. Having once again taken a step of faith, rather than when the famine was over and just saying, I couldn't be bothered with this, you know, and this God said he was going to bless me with all of these things and hit me with a famine and I had to go to Egypt and tell lies and all this, I'm just going back to where I'm from. Rather than do that, he took a step of faith and continued to believe God, and God then spoke to Abram and told him to look all around him, as I said, north, south, east and west, and he promised him, all the land that you see I give you, not I will give you. All the land that you see, I give you and your descendants forever. Now remember, Lot took what looked like the best of the land. But here's the other problem. God is saying to Abram, everything that you can possibly see, I give to you and to your descendants. But you see, we know that Abram and Sarah were well past it. They were really old. And they were childless. And yet, Abram accepted the word of the Lord. And he moved his tent to dwell in this place, Hebron. And we're told he built an altar unto the Lord. Now you need to understand something here. Abram is no soft touch. Oh, I can't be bothered fighting with my nephew. It was no soft touch. He loved his nephew. And just to prevent family disputes and fallouts, he thought it was best to let him choose wherever he wanted to dwell. And his own choice, as I said, did not look promising. And even though God had promised all the land that he could see to him and his descendants, it really didn't look that good. Considering he and Sarah, as I said, were well past it, well past the age of childbearing, how was this possible? Could things get better? Was he mad to believe this? And still, when God reiterated his promise, Abraham believed him and dwelt in Hebron. And there we're told, as I said, he built an altar unto the Lord. In other words, things may not have looked too promising, yet Abram continued to worship the Lord. Think now of the Christian life and the path to victory and all of the things that we talk about. How often do we read the promises of God and hear the prophetic words spoken and the promises of God delivered in different ways to us? And we look at our lives and it really doesn't look too promising. Yet Abram continued to worship the Lord. Was Abram mad to believe things could get better? I mean, think about it. Were we all mad in 1997 when Dee Ream got up and said things could only get better? Were we mad to believe it because we got Tony Blair? Was Abraham mad to believe what God said? Or madder still to believe that God could actually do what he said? I will give all of this land. I give it to you and to your descendants. And yet Abraham believed God. And in spite of the circumstances, he continued to worship the Lord. And that is about the Christian life as well. In spite of the circumstances. Because God is God above the circumstances, even though he is God in the circumstances. We've got to continue to worship the Lord. You see, the God of the Bible is a God of covenant. That means he is a God who makes promises and keeps them. God's promises will always be kept, will always be fulfilled in spite of the circumstances, in spite of what choices others may make, because God is faithful. God promises everyone. So I want you to listen. God promises everyone, that includes you, everyone who turns from their sin and puts their trust in Jesus, that they will receive forgiveness and be adopted into his family. Am I mad to believe this? God promises those who are adopted into his family through faith in Jesus that they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even death cannot hold them or make them afraid. Am I mad to believe this? God promises he has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life and for the life of every Christian. A plan that assures us his ways are the very best ways. Am I mad to believe this? God promises he will never leave or forsake us. We just said this in our prayer. He will never, never leave us or forsake us. In fact, he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in every believer as a guarantee of his promises. Am I mad to believe this? God promises no matter what circumstances befall us, cancers, sicknesses, diseases, losing our jobs, whatever circumstances befall us, God promises he will always work them for the good of those who love him. Am I absolutely mad to believe this? God promises those who reject Jesus, his son, and the free gift of life offered through him, that they will be cast forever from his presence in hell. That's a promise of God. Even though the heart of God is clear, he would that no one would perish. He promises, if you reject my son, there is no hope. Am I mad to believe this? Are you mad not to? Have I gone mad? Asked the Mad Hatter to Alice. I'm afraid so, said Alice. You're completely bonkers. But I'll tell you a secret. All the best people are. I'd rather be thought mad and trust in the Lord than considered worldly wise and be an utter fool. What about you? God is a God of covenant. He keeps his promises. Am I mad to believe that things could get better with God? You'd be mad not to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that you are a God who keeps your promises. You ask us, like the video showed at the start, you ask us to trust you. And at times, Lord, we're reluctant because, Lord, you're asking us to take steps that we haven't taken before. And we're fearful and we're anxious and we're unsure of the outcome. But help us, Lord, to forget about those things and to realize who you are. You're a God who keeps your promises. You're a God who loves us with an everlasting love. You're a God who delights to bless us. You're a God who wants only what is best for each of us. And you have proved and demonstrated your love for us in the giving of your Son Jesus to die on a cross to pay the price for our sin so that we could know you and love you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to realize we would be utterly mad not to believe this. Help us, Lord, please, like Abraham, even in spite of the circumstances, to worship the Lord, because you are a faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen.